You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
The main application here is the speaking is tied to our relationship with God, particularly being slow to speak the Word of God. Really? I thought we were supposed to like be ready to witness to everybody and be ready to speak the Word of God, bring the Scripture into every area of life. Yes, that's true, but it's got to be the Word of God spoken correctly at the right time, right? What Jesus said to the Pharisees is not the same thing that Jesus said to the woman by the well. Study it.
Words are powerful. They are edifying, instructive, and life-changing. But they are also damaging, distracting, chaotic, and hurtful. So be careful of the words you choose to say. The best way to do this is be slow to speak. Take your time before you let your mouth take over. As Pastor Tom teaches today, you should first listen well to God and others. This allows you to truly understand what is being said. Then, as the Holy Spirit leads, you can begin to thoughtfully speak. Your words will be powerful in a really good way. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, How to Listen to God's Word.
It is not simply the responsibility of the guy in the pulpit to put energy into preaching the Word of God. It is your responsibility to put your full intent into listening to the Word of God. That's what you're here for. Tune in full frequency for us old timers. Incline your ear. Lean forward in your chair. Put a pen in your hand and notes in your hand. Show that you're interested in the Word of God. For God's sake, do that. Is your heart open? Is your mind active? Push out all the thoughts of the things you have to do when you get out of here and concentrate. That's what James means. James knew that these early Jewish believers needed to be quick and eager to listen in their church gatherings, in their worship services to the Word of God. The style of worship in that early church was somewhat less formal. It had its formalities, but there were more speakers. They would have prophets and teachers, and they would take turns, and there were many that were involved in teaching. They were usually smaller congregations. By the way, Acts chapter 13 and verse 1 hints at that when it says, there were in Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers. It goes on to list some of them. Multiple teachers, they would speak. And sometimes, because of this, in some of the churches, it would become disorderly. People would want to talk and get their point across, and it would be like that. And folks weren't really listening. They were quick to talk and slow to listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 through 33 gives a more specific insight into how these early church services ran. It speaks of the assembly and things needing to be done in order, and it says you can all speak one at a time. It's referring to the men there, the men that were gifted, and it says you can speak and prophesy, but do it one by one. God is not a God of confusion. He is not the author of that. He is the God of peace. But you know, the Jews could get pretty excited, and he's writing the Jewish believers here, and they could start talking, and they could get passionate about their point of view, and they could be biblical, but they would not listen, and they would not hear that their brother had something good to say as well to balance what they were saying. And they would talk over each other, and they would undercut the work of God in the worship service. They would undercut the work of the Spirit of God. And so this commandment here is meant to counterbalance that talkative trait and give a correction. We need to remember, too, in that first century church that they did not have the full canon of Scripture. They didn't have something like we have in our hands here. They didn't have all of it. And even if they did, which they didn't, but they wouldn't have a copy to take back home and reread to make sure. So their listening was extra special important. This is a letter that was written by Paul to another church, and we happen to have a copy of it now. They were very eager and should be eager to listen. This is the letter of Paul. We haven't heard this before. We didn't have a copy of this before, you see. Nowadays, people can just say, I'm kind of tired. I'm not going to listen today. I'll download it later. And so we excuse our lack of listening. You know, the modern things are a blessing that can also be a curse. You can not listen now and you could put the thing on later and not listen all that well then too, right? Why? Because you're training yourself not to be a good listener. You're making excuses for yourself not to be a good listener. He talks too long. Oh my goodness, he talks way too long. I can't listen that long. You listened that long when you got your high school and college degrees. You know, we all did, right? 50 minutes, hour, 15 minutes. You can listen this long. So be a good listener. A good disciple means being a good listener to God's word. Disciples are to be like Mary. Remember Mary? Mary of Bethany? Seated there at the Lord's feet, what? Listening to his word. What was Martha doing? Oh, no, she wasn't busy. She was being responsible. She had a lot of things to do, right? I got to go here and get this serving done. In fact, she was so sure of her moral superiority, we'll say it that way, to Mary, that she even corrected the Lord in front of everybody. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. And the Lord said, you know, Mary chose the good part. It's not going to be taken away from her. Listening to the word of God is the highest priority for your life as a disciple in the church. It's the time you're to be most worshipful. It's the time where you're supposed to have your ears on the most. If you're checking out when the word of God is preached, your heart is distant from God. Psalm 119, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. You can't seek God apart from his word. To seek God is to listen to his word. To want God is to want the word. There's no distinction. Many of you have come because of expository preaching. It's the best way to hear the voice of God today is to hear the scriptures as it is unfolded in its context. But do you prepare to listen? Do you come with preparation? Do you take notes? Do you sit where you will not be distracted? Do you do those things? Do you meditate while you're hearing? Do you follow up after you've heard? But are you preparing your ears to listen and hear? The word is what we are to crave, 1 Peter 2. Like a baby longing for milk. The Holy Spirit leads us to crave for the word. The Holy Spirit wrote the word. This is the Holy Spirit's word. And as you're listening to his word and he's in your heart, he takes the word he authored and he illumines in your mind the truth for your own self. And he quietly presses that on you for applications to make. But if you're just sitting there as a routine, you'll never know what you're supposed to go and do this week. There are impressions, there is pressure that he puts on your mind and heart for you to respond to him, to respond to God, and he's doing that with the preaching of the word. How important it is for you to hear the voice of the Spirit. So you can see, beloved, this first command here has a lot of weight. Be quick to hear. It has to do with the healthy condition of your soul. I've noticed that when my soul starts to turn dry, why is that? Why has my soul started to turn dry? When I take a little bit of time to reflect, and I think about it, what has happened is my desires have gotten caught up with something material, some worldly desire, and I've gone down that pathway in my mind or certain actions. I've let it affect the way I think and my attitude, and I've gone down that little pathway for a while, and the word has just become kind of dull, and it's kind of drifted off, and I don't really even have a hunger to get back to the word. And when I repent of that and realize what has happened, there's this renewed desire for me to be in his word all the time. It's not a chore. It's not a chore. It's a delight. Oh, believer, do not be quick to hear all the things that you listen to throughout the week. Quick to hear Facebook and quick to hear all the music you listen to and quick to hear all of the entertainment that you're in and quick to hear sports and quick to hear whatever it is. Why are you so quick to hear that and not quick to hear the word of God? So many think that they've had their fill of the word of God. One good, solid Sunday brunch ought to last me the whole week long. No, beloved. You guzzle in entertainment and music all week long. Where's the word of God for the rest of the week in your life? Ecclesiastes 7:5 says, it is better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than for one to listen to the song of fools. I like that because there are a lot of song of fools out there. And I've sung some of them myself, I have to confess. How sad for you if your ears are straying. You're looking for something else to help you in your life because the Bible didn't help. No, the Bible didn't help because you weren't really listening to the Bible. You had a block there. You're walking to the beat of the worldly drum. You can't hear the word of God. This affects your personal devotions, does it not? R. Kent Hughes writes, the devotional prayer of the modern man is, Lord, speak to me. You have 60 seconds. There's no place in the busy secular desolation to hear God say, "Be still and know that I am God." And in your scheduled reading of the Word of God, the goal is not to advance the bookmark. The goal is to hear God talk to you through His Word. Slow it down if you have to. Slow your mind down and listen to the Lord. Hear God speak. Bring your ears back. They've been drifting. Your ears have been drifting. You let them drift. Bring them back. That's why James writes, first, be eager to hear God's word. Reluctance to hear the word of God cuts off at the very beginning whatever God is trying to do to work sanctification into your life, to have you benefit from that trial that you're going through right now. Reluctance to hear the word of God cuts that off. Listening is literally a matter of life and death. I find when talking with some unbelievers, I'm a pastor, I study the book every day, and these guys act like they're a greater authority than I am. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and the first thing I have to bring up is just their unwillingness to listen. Why are you trying to overtalk me? Why are you trying to act like you know more than a guy with a couple of theological degrees? Have you really studied that much? What is going on in your heart that you feel you have to just cut me off and just start talking? That's the first place I have to start with some unbelievers. Contra Rob Bell, people will literally not be put into hell, be thrown into hell, the lake of fire, for having closed ears and open mouths. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen to God. Second, be slow to speak. Verse 19b, that's what it says, slow to speak. This too is really very simple. By the way, it doesn't say don't speak. It doesn't say when you speak, speak slowly. It says take your time before you speak. Think first, in other words. Speak only after you've considered what to say. This is proverbial in life in general, but more importantly, the context, the Word of God. It's obviously in opposition to listening. Listening is to be done right away. Speaking is not. Open the ears, close them out. Slow speaking is the companion of quick listening. If you're a quick listener, you will be a slow speaker, vice versa. You cannot listen well if you're talking. Some of you are saying, yes, I can. No, you can't. Again, I don't care what you say. I'm not listening. You can't even listen well if you're talking in your head fast. Well, when this guy finishes talking, I'm going to tell him something. I'll tell you what. You know, first I'm going to start with John. Yeah, I'm going to start with John. I'm going to hit him with John. Then I'm going to come with Romans. That's what I'm going to do. And then after I get done with Romans, oh, now I'm going to have to bring up Revelation because he said that. I'm going to have to bring up Revelation. If you speak before carefully listening to people in general, what's going to happen? The person's going to stand there like, you didn't listen to me. And they're going to say that. You say, yes, I did. No, you didn't really hear me. You'll say something, but you won't say the helpful thing. All the time I hear the singles in the church complaining about how married people talk to them. Oh, just wait, sweetie. Your husband's just right around the corner. That is not the thing to say. I was trying to be helpful. You were trying. You weren't being helpful. See, often we see someone sick and we just say the first thing, not something you think, what will actually be helpful to this person. Look, we all love to teach. We all want to help. We all know a little bit of the word. Some of us know a lot of the word, but you got to kind of listen to what the real issue is before you talk. I've been guilty of this myself. I'm just saying. Giving advice to other people, hold off. Ask a few more questions. Learn a little bit more. Then what comes out of your mouth will be valuable. True? True? That's so needed. If you speak too quickly, what else will happen? You'll jump to conclusions. I know what that's all about. It's sort of like that. Never mind. See? Your reactions will be immature. By the way, it'll lead to anger, and that's why we have slow to anger. We'll get to that next time. The media is a pretty bad example with speaking slowly. They rip apart, if I can use the old illustration of the newspaper, a man's good reputation on page one and make their apology buried on page 22. Bad. They're not trustworthy a lot of times with that. So that's dangerous. Again, the main application here is the speaking is tied to our relationship with God, particularly being slow to speak the word of God. Really? I thought we were supposed to like be ready to witness to everybody and be ready to speak the word of God, bring the scripture into every area of life. Yes, that's true, but it's got to be the word of God spoken correctly at the right time, right? What Jesus said to the Pharisees is not the same thing that Jesus said to the woman by the well. Study it. So the people we meet, we have to speak differently to the people we meet. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Even for self-preservation, keep your mouth shut. Right? You'll come to ruin. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who's hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. That's one of the most foolish things, is to be quick to talk. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Proverbs 10:19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Wow, I cannot avoid sinning if I talk too much. Keep talking fast. Sooner or later, up, there it is. It just came out. You sinned. You transgressed. But he who restrains his lips is wise. You want to be wise? Restrain your lips. Hold them back. Whoa, boys. Hold back. Do not speak. Jesus put heavy weight on words. He said, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the judgment, in the day of judgment. This is Matthew 12. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Again, I say the primary emphasis is in speaking the word of God in a worship service in the gathering of believers. We are to be quick to hear the truth, but not quick to speak the truth. Turn to James 3:1. You probably don't even have to turn. It's probably right there, but James 3:1, it says what? Let not many of you become listeners, my brethren. No, it doesn't say that. It says, let not many of you become what? Teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. He knew, he's a teacher. His words will be judged more strictly because he's a teacher. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:14. I'll read it. You don't have to turn there. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God. Notice how serious that is. Not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Religious people talk. And he's saying a lot of that isn't needed. They're just wrangling about words. They're just trying to impress. Look later in this very chapter, James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Wow! If I can't bridle my tongue to some degree at least, my religion is worthless to me. Quick speaking could destroy the whole atmosphere of a Christian meeting. You've seen that before too, haven't you? You're in a meeting, you're in a small group, you're in a congregational meeting or something, and someone that just kind of speaks the wrong way, the wrong tone, doesn't get all of his facts straight, is too proud and confident in what he's saying, and boom, now 12 people have to try to correct them, and then blah, 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 blah. It's ruined. It spreads like wildfire. We're going to get to that in James 3. And lots of people, they bring up a topic. This happens so much. You bring up a topic, you know, I was really trying to think about what God says about blank, and they start. And then before they get to finish their thought, their couple of sentences, there's three of Job's helpers, you know. Oh, they actually stayed silent. Saying, oh, I know about that issue too. Yeah, I was reading something the other day on that and blah, blah. Yeah, I know about that too. And the guy that brought up the topic's kind of like, that's not really what, anyway, forget about it, right? Speaking quickly also leads to overstating things. Why do you think there are a lot of inaccuracies and exaggerations? Because we want to say something quick that's interesting and wow. Quick speech is prone to wound others. He who speaks rashly, it's like the thrusts of a sword. You feel like you got to say something, so you say something. And I tell you what, parents, the place we do this the most is where? Is to the children, right? Ouch. We hurt them. We heard them. Ah, kids are so forgiving. Blessed children. Sometimes you see a debate going on in church. You know, this guy's talking, that guy's talking louder, this guy joins in, and they're going at it. And sooner or later, someone asks, what are you guys arguing about? I don't know. What are we arguing about? Got lost there somewhere in the middle. We just need to argue. Just have something. Just got to say something. Plato said that was a fool. No, words need to be formed properly. Even if you don't have a great vocabulary, you got to still choose the right words. Religion is powerful. That's the point. Words are powerful. Word of God is powerful. Misrepresenting the Word of God is powerful. Formulate doctrine carefully. It's got to be healthy doctrine. It's got to help people. You all aren't going to say another word all day long, are you? Religion is powerful. Misguided zeal in religion hurts. I think we witnessed that in our church recently, did we not? Zeal without compassion or knowledge. Jumping to conclusions. Judging people too quickly. It hurts. It's wrong. It's immature. It sounds zealous. It sounds so biblical. It's wrong. So I'm the pastor, and I'm supposed to have answers to everything, which I don't. But people come up to me, and, Pastor, I got a question. And I got it. What's the answer? And I think I frustrate sometimes because I'm like, you want the quick answer or the long answer? I don't like giving quick answers because I want to know more. And I want to explain what I'm going to say because I know how easy it is for words to be twisted. Why do people offer their opinions so quickly? Why do you do it? You feel pressure from someone sometimes, right? What's the answer? What do you think? What do you think? Can you tell people, whoa, let me think about it a little bit. I'll get back to you, right? Isn't that wise? Often it's we speak quickly because the sore subject comes up and we just want to vent our frustration. None of that is wise. I read that one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And I imagine that self-control should start with my mouth. And ladies, that goes for you too. Control your mouths, ladies, as well. Especially be slow to speak in church. Let the men lead. Give preference to the men. They're supposed to lead. Many of them don't know how. They need encouragement to learn that. 1 Timothy 2 clearly teaches these things. Too quick to speak is one reason we're not even allowed to let new converts teach. 1 Timothy 3, don't let them teach. Why not? Because they haven't learned to restrain their lips yet. They'll get too proud, and the devil will take advantage of that. Everybody wants to speak. Very few want to study. You know what studying is? Listening. Listening to the Word of God over and over and over again, checking it, rechecking it, letting go of your old interpretations, learning new, being wise, balancing your words, bringing this in and that in, setting the context. It's listening. If you want to be a leader, learn to study. If you're already a leader, if you're already a teacher, you should be the most zealous and hardworking student in your class. You should be taking classes. You should be learning more. You should not be teaching without absorbing. You should be listening 10 times as much as you speak. I'll close with this, Proverbs 18:21. Let us weigh our words in the balances. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Titus 2:1, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Speaking is a weighty thing, beloved. Make sure when you talk, you got something good to say from God's word. Amen?
Thanks for joining Pastor Tom today on Discover Hope. If you'd like to hear more from this study, you can find additional teachings online now at hopebible.org. We know that this time in our world is uncertain, but one truth remains steadfast. God is in control. During the season, we encourage you to spend time in the Word, in prayer, and in the presence of your Creator. As with many churches across our nation, Pastor Tom and the Hope Bible Church community are holding church online. We'd love for you to join us. Visit hopebible.org to connect to our Sunday worship service at 11 a.m. We look forward to worshiping with you in this way until we can be gathered together as the body once again. We also know how essential prayer is during this time, and we want you to know we're constantly lifting our listeners up to the Lord. Is there anything specific we can be praying about for you? Please let us know by sending an email to hbc@hopebible.org. That's hbc@hopebible.org. Please pray for us too, as well as the leaders of our nation, and especially for those affected by this virus. Discover Hope is a listener-supported ministry. We'd like to offer you the opportunity to be a part of sharing this gospel message. Would you prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner? All gifts are appreciated and used for this ministry. Please visit hopebible.org/radio to find out more and donate securely online. Thank you for supporting Discover Hope in this way. That's all for today. Join Pastor Tom again for another edition of Discover Hope.